Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, Josh.
Hello, Scott. You've been kind of down today. You feeling all right?
No.
One of them days.
Yeah, it's been a tough week. Work's been tough, and life has been tough. And
you don't have air conditioning in the house.
Well, yeah, and I lost a family member this week, and
yeah,
and a bunch of other things.
I've already consoled you. Condolences to you.
Yeah,
I can't speak, but you know what I meant.
I understand. But yeah, it's just been a down week. But you know what would make me feel really, real, a whole lot better?
Going to adamandeve.com?
Well, I was going to say a sex toy, but that would be step one. Yes, going to adamandeve.com.
You have to go to the website to get the sex toy, and you have to use the code STATIC to do that.
Okay, but what's that get me?
Gets you 50% off that sex toy.
Okay.
And they'll also throw in 3 free DVDs for you.
Nice.
They'll include shipping if you're in the United States.
Okay.
They're going to throw in some extra special mystery gift just, you know, for being a good customer and using the promo code STATIC.
Very nice. Is there anything else I do?
Well, you have to use the code, you know, in the little box. Otherwise, I don't think there's a whole lot more there.
But what if I just want a warm, fuzzy feeling for helping out Josh and Scott of Lost in the Static?
Oh, yeah. We end up getting a commission off of it.
Exactly. So thank you, guys. And yes, I've been down. It's been a tough week. I apologize. You're going to hear it in my voice today. And it's just, trust me, I'm kind of powering through this one.
And Scott and I do not agree whatsoever on tonight's topic. So that's not going to help matters either.
Nope. And well, heck, let's just play for him tonight's topic. All right, green screen.
The following preview has been approved for appropriate audiences by the Motion Picture Association of America, Inc.
My name is Barnabas Collins. 2 centuries ago, I made Collinwood my home.
My love.
Until a jealous witch cursed me, condemning me to the shadows.
What have you done?
For all time.
What the hell is...
Okay, I'm going to pause it right there because so far this is sounding like a pretty decent adaptation of Dark Shadows, and you know, it was cheesy, but it was a dramatic soap opera like series.
Well, I want to stop you there. The original TV series was cheesy. The 70s movies were not, nor was the 1991 reboot.
I haven't seen those, so I don't care about them.
I'm just pointing it out for the audience who may just think your statement was a blanket statement.
Oh, okay.
He's coming. He's coming.
Hear me, future dweller. What is the year?
1972.
My beloved Collinwood.
The Collins family.
Who the hell is this?
I'm a vampire, madam.
Yeah.
He's not staying with us forever, is he?
I like him.
Oh, super fat.
Welcome home, Barnabas Collins.
How soon can the horses be ready?
We don't have horses. We have a Chevy.
I'm on top of...
What sorcery is this?
Reveal yourself, tiny songstress.
Hello, Barnabas. Remember me?
Witch.
You cursed me to be this hideous creature.
You may strategically place your wonderful lips upon my posterior and kiss it repeatedly.
What if I made you love me?
With what a spell?
With this.
I must admit, they have not aged a day.
Is she for real?
Indeed.
If I can't have you, I'll destroy you. And your family.
Missed me. I shall restore the family business to its former glory.
Burn, baby, burn. Fight on, Barnabas. Fight on for us.
And fight I shall.
Love me.
Never. That was a regrettable turn of events.
Are you stoned or something?
They tried stoning me, my dear.
did not work.
Now, anyone that's a fan of Dark Shadows, that's just offensive, this trailer.
I don't know. All the elements are there. I mean, you've got the witch. You've got Barnabas trying to save the Collins family and the name and the business and all of that. And you've got the witch, of course, fighting for love, which was all pretty much from the original.
But as Tim Burton put it, he has decided that he wants to go for, and I'm quoting here, a gonzo comedy, and he knows it's going to piss off the fans of the original series, which says to me, I made this movie specifically so people who liked the series will not go see it. Because he had the option, the original script for this movie was a dark, gothic adaptation of the show, and he said, no, I want comedy. All which right. means he has no respect for the source material whatsoever.
And I think it's his right as a director.
I think he's absolutely batshit insane, and I think he's the ultimate troll. I'm making a Dark Shadows movie specifically to piss off Dark Shadows fans. I'm the ultimate fucking troll.
I don't know if he made it specifically to piss off Dark Shadows fans. He made it for a new generation that...
You okay?
Yeah, sorry. He made it for a new generation that maybe the dark, dramatic, serious stuff that was back in the movies that you mentioned and the attempt at dark, dramatic, and serious that the original TV series tried, maybe it didn't work. So he's, rather than calling this an adaptation, you could call it an homage.
No. I mean,
or a parody of itself.
For one thing, even more so than the next thing we're going to talk about, Dark Shadows fans have almost put a price on his head. That basically he's scheduled to go to like some Dark Shadows conventions. There's actually word that people are going to pie him. They're going to attack him. They're going to do anything they can to try and make him pay for, in their words, raping their franchise the way he has.
Then again, I think that they have all the right in the world to do what I've pretty much advocated doing on this show more than once. Vote with their wallets. Don't go see it.
Well, what actually kind of angers me about the whole thing, let's say that happens, okay? Let's say real Dark Shadows fans don't see the movie at all, and people who have no idea what the series is, this is their first exposure to it. That's the problem right there. They're going to think, oh, this series was always funny, and it was over the top, and it was full of self-referential humor. And then they're going to watch the series and go, what the hell is this?
But they're going to watch the series.
Maybe they'll enjoy it. Most likely not.
Okay, so they don't. So they go see a movie they enjoy. What's the harm?
Because I don't understand the whole, let's take something serious and make it into a comedy, which is something Hollywood's been doing for years.
Yeah.
Like with 21 Jump Street. We'll take a very serious show that was about issues, and we're going to make it into a gross-out film about puke jokes.
And to tell you the truth, a very serious film about issues concerning 21 Jump Street and the whole setup there wouldn't work for today's audience, so why not... Like I said, pay a little homage, do a little parody of itself, and turn it into, okay, I'll admit that just on a base movie level, that looks like an abomination, but meh.
Well, but then you also have the lack of respect. For one thing, do you realize that the 21 Jump Street movie didn't start off as that? It was a standalone script, and they said, well, we've got the rights to this, change the script. And that's the thing. It's not a 21 Jump Street movie. It shouldn't be called 21 Jump Street.
Why not?
Because it isn't one. It's a gross out comedy.
But
it's not. It's the same thing with, do you remember Cagney and Lacey, the 80s TV show?
Yes.
There's been a script going around for years, which again shows just how little Hollywood understands how to adapt an old property. Now, remember in the original series, Cagney and Lacey were very strong, upfront female characters in a world that at that point women were not detectives normally. You know, they were in kind of out of their element.
Well, just like Columbo, you know, an intelligent Polish detective. It's unheard of before that. So,
but the women thing actually got a lot of flack.
Yeah,
because they were called, well, they're just this side of dykes. You know, they're bringing lesbian values.
Yep.
So there's been a script going around Hollywood. They've been trying to make this into a movie, Starsky and Hutch style, where they're huge, you know, butch dyke man-hating lesbians, and you just kind of go, wow, you have no respect for what that original series was or what it tried to show women that they could do you? You know, a strong woman, obviously she's gay. A strong female personality, got to be a dyke. That's apparently what Hollywood thinks of that kind of thing. That shows no respect to me.
No, but I think for shows that in their time were groundbreaking, in their time served a very serious purpose, I think that we as people have kind of grown up past the I'm sorry, I haven't slept really well in the past like 4 days. I think that groundbreaking piece of media served its purpose. And so now it's almost a look back and kind of, you know, you're a friend of mine and I make fun of you all the time.
I make fun of you right back.
I know. And that's what I think these are, these modern reinterpretations are trying to be. I don't think that there is a disrespect or a lack of respect. I think it's a friendly poke in the ribs.
I see. I disagree with that. You know, for instance, and we'll get to that other thing I pointed out in a minute. Like, for instance, the Quentin Tarantino Django movie. I think that is not only absolute lack of respect, absolute lack of understanding what made the original Django work. The original Django was played by Franco Nero. You'd know him as Space Jesus from that Visitor movie I showed you that freaked you out with all the birds.
Yes, with the damn birds.
Yeah, that movie freaked you the fuck out, I remember.
I don't
that.
Like birds, and yeah.
They kept coming right at the camera, too. Yes. I know. You look, yelled at me the next day when you came back. You threw the damn DVD at me.
I know. I made it through Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds without a problem. This piece of crap,
which you actually said was pretty decent if it wasn't for the birds part.
It's a decent piece of crap with scary fracking birds in it.
But Franco Nero was, the original Django movie was a groundbreaking Western in every way. And then so Quentin Tarantino has decided, well, now Django, and he's calling this an official sequel. Now apparently Django is black. He's an escaped slave who's trying to get revenge on his former owner. No. Quentin, you have no idea.
So I have a quick question about that. Is this, like some people, I'm trying to think of a good example, and the only one that comes to mind is Robin, as in Batman.
I assume.
But
so.
Robin is a title, and it's been held by lots of different people. Is Django being looked at as a title being held by a different person?
No, he said it's the same character from Django and Django Returns, who all of a sudden is now played by Jamie Foxx and has the background of an escaped slave. And you go, okay, Quentin, how high were you when you decided on this?
Now that I can understand, because that's changing an origin story. It's the one that at least with Dark Shadows, it sticks somewhat. Yes, it turns it into a comedy, but it sticks somewhat to the story.
I'll give you that.
That I think is where respect is shown. It can be approached from a different angle. You can turn a comedy into a drama and vice versa. It's very rare that you see comedies turned, or it's rare that you see comedies turned into dramas, and much more often that you see dramas turned into comedies, because it's easier to write.
I can think of one example where it did just what you said it did. The character of Lou Grant. Remember on the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Yes.
An out-and-out sitcom?
Yes.
After that ended, 5 seasons of the Lou Grant Show. A very hard, socially conscious drama.
That, as you told me, ended with nuclear war, right?
Well, it would have if they had actually shown the final episode, but yes.
But, you know, that I can see as, you're sticking to the same story, you're sticking to the same origin story, and I think that is respect. That's where you actually show respect, as opposed to interpreting it as a comedy or a drama when it wasn't, you know, when it was the other. That I'm willing to give a little bit of leeway on. You know, 21 Jump Street, they're not sticking to the right origin story. for one thing.
Well, but it is actually a sequel to the series.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Three characters from the series appear with the same actors playing those characters. So they're trying to say this goofball, gross-out comedy is actually where this five-season series you grew up loving, six if you want to count the spinoff Booker, actually ended up.
Okay, and
that's
like
no
and
respect.
Like I
opinion.
Said, that to me looks like just a bad film, and I don't know enough to tell you whether or not the filmmakers actually respected that original one. Maybe they did. Maybe it's buried in there somewhere, and we haven't seen it in the previews, and we haven't heard about it quite yet. But you know, it's. And again, I'm gonna move back to Dark Shadows. I think he is still showing respect by sticking with the story. Yeah, he's probably going to piss some people off by making
most
it a
people.
Comedy instead of most fans of the original Dark Shadows. He's going to piss them off by turning it into a comedy. And tell you the truth, I didn't really see that preview as a huge Gonzo comedy. You said he said it himself on MTV.
I'm quoting. Gonzo comedy is his word.
Then I'll... Hopefully he'll find a good editor that'll maybe put a little bit of a tamper on that. But... At least he's sticking with the story. The one that pisses me off is the one that's changing the origin story.
Let's talk about Michael Bay. Scott, did you grow up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, they were an ancillary part of my life. I wasn't nearly as big a fan as some of my friends. Some of my friends had all the toys
and
all the figurines. But I watched the cartoons, and seeing that old 80s cartoon is is a bit of a
nostalgia trip.
Yeah. Nostalgia trip. And given, I forget which critic it was, but he compared when the 2003 and 1983 turtles, 1987 turtles had the crossover in
that movie. Yeah. Talk about lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Lack of respect.
That's lack of understanding. That's lack of respect. That's taking the characters and
Turtles
turning them
forever. I think it was called.
I don't remember what it is, but that is when you take and you make it into a complete and utter parody of itself, and you lose something of the original character when you do that.
But part of that comes down to, and Turtles Forever is a perfect example of what I think Dark Shadows did as well, is I'm going to make the original look so ridiculous that my new one is the only one people will say, well, maybe, because the other one looked so bad. Like, Turtles Forever did that. They said it was because it was made by the people that did the 2003 series. So they said, we want our series to seem so cool, we have to totally make fun of and defame the original series. And that's what I see Tim Burton doing with this Dark Shadows.
And I don't know. I don't know. I obviously haven't seen the film, and I'm going to reserve judgment until I do.
Well, but going back to the Turtles, we got to talk about Michael Bay. He's making a new $150 million live-action CG crossover Turtles movie. And first of all, he's boasting the same thing every CG movie does. He says the Turtles are going to be so realistic, you will never doubt for a second that they are actually there on the set with the live action actors. And I'm going, oh, fuck you, Michael Bay. Fuck you on that.
There's been one movie that has been able to convince me of that used animation and convinced me
District
that they
9?
Were on the set.
District 9?
Well, District 9.
District 9 was pretty close.
Yeah, District 9 was close, but no, this was when I was much younger.
Tron?
Nope.
What?
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, but that wasn't CGI. That was actually line animation, which in a weird way is actually easier to integrate than CGI is, because for whatever reason, CGI looks faker.
Uncanny Valley. We've talked about
it. Yeah. But then Michael Bay has decided, and he's still keeping the title the same, which is another okay.
Yeah.
He has decided they are no longer mutants. They are now aliens.
So it's teenage alien. Wait, how are they ninjas if they didn't, study the...
And
that's
how
a pretty
they,
Asia how, specific thing.
And how are they turtles if they technically wouldn't be turtles? They would be teenage alien ninja styled turtle like creatures. That would be what you'd have to change the title to.
It does not roll off the tongue, does it?
No, it does not roll off the tongue as easily. Well, but then neither does the British TMNT. Do you remember, because you couldn't use the word ninja over there because of the censorship laws? So they were Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Yes.
In England, which that doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well either.
But if you ask an Englishman that grew up with that, they hear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and they're like, okay. Weird.
Oh, the Hero Turtle. Yeah.
Yes, the Hero Turtle. So,
but what it comes down to is Michael Bay, no respect at all. That he says this thing is loved by millions upon millions of children and adults from both incarnations and the comic book and the live action movies. I want to put my stamp on it. Now they're aliens.
Yeah, and that to me shows a lack of respect for the base material is when you start changing very basic and accepted canon.
Like Transformers.
Or the prequels.
No, I'm just sticking with Michael Bay right now.
But yes, like Transformers.
Because like the Transformers movies, there's no respect for the original cartoons or comic books there whatsoever.
No, I will give you that. You lose what, you know, growing up with Transformers, yes, you look at it now and you go, my God, this is a kind of a cheesy 80s cartoon and I can't believe I watched
but
that
it had
as a kid.
Certain but heart
It's got heart to it, and the characters, surprisingly, for the type of media it is, the characters are surprisingly deep.
They pop.
Yeah, and they work. And Michael Bay,
he just wanted big robots blowing up buildings. Yeah,
and he gave the Constructicons, the big, what was it, Destructor, the
Devastator,
thank you.
Yes, he gave testicles,
Devastator testicles,
peed on John Turturro.
Yeah, Bumblebee peed on John, and Bumblebee lost his speaking voice, which what Bumblebee in the original cartoon was kind of the
de facto main character.
Well,
almost.
It was the robot that the kids could relate to,
which is why he was probably more episodes than any other single character in that original show was.
I mean, you know,
until he became Goldbug. He ended up, his body got destroyed and he became Goldbug, and I'm sorry, it's not the same.
No, he really, but the other, so you change that, you change the characters around, you change the origin story
somewhat, and
the one that really topped it off was the racist robots.
Oh, the racist twins.
Yes.
Skids and Mudflap.
Yes.
Who Michael Bay loved so much, he actually was trying to get them their own direct-to-video spin-off movie because he loved those characters. Those characters were barely in the original script for Transformers 2, and he kept telling, more Skids, more Mudflap. These guys are so funny. I love these characters.
And that's a shame.
I saw your face. You did this big frowny face before you just said that, too.
Yeah, because, wow. We did our episode on racism and such the other week. And these two robots are the perfect case of, no, that really is racism.
Oh, absolutely. But then you also have, you look at the original Transformers. They all had distinct looks. You knew when you looked at a character who that character was.
Yes.
You tell me in those three movies, if you could tell any character just by looking at them outside of maybe Optimus Prime. He basically made the characters all interchangeable, and the only time you ever knew which character was talking was they were constantly saying, Ironhide, do this, or Prowler, do, you know, they constantly had to use their names because every single character looked exactly the same.
Even the ones from the original 80s cartoon that used the same model. Like there was the red van and then the ambulance. They were basically
Ironside and Ratchet.
Yeah, Ironside and Ratchet. They were basically the same guy.
Ironhide and Ratchet.
Ironhide, okay. Ironhide and Ratchet. They were basically the same model with a new paint job.
And two totally different character personalities.
Two totally different character personalities. You're right. The modern Transformers, you lose respect because you lose the characters. Even if he wanted to make it a super hyper action comedy movie, as long as he had kept at least the very basics of the characters, I would have been okay with it.
But yeah, I mean, the only thing that even tells you that Optimus Prime is Optimus Prime is the fact that they got Peter Cullen back.
Exactly.
Right? And you know what? All of you big Hollywood, oh my God, Michael Bay is such a hack, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Steven Spielberg gets just as much blame. He executive produced these movies and was on set most days. Steven Spielberg did not stop Michael Bay's insanity. Therefore, he is just as to blame as Michael Bay is for those train wrecks.
And for the record, you said that Michael Bay made a good movie. What was it?
I thought The Island was very good. Ironically enough, that's the only one he blatantly stole from something else.
See, and I thought The Island was pretty awful.
I thought The Island was actually pretty decent. I thought it was a pretty decent flick. But...
And we're not saying that you're stupid because you like to turn off your brain for a couple hours and enjoy.
I just had a fan.
I do the same thing. I've been known to walk into a movie and I know in my brain that this is going to be an absolutely, you know, I call them popcorn films.
And see, I can't do that. I do that with older movies because you have to kind of look at the differences when you've got a stupid movie like Transformers 3. That costs $200+ million, and then you've got a little $100,000 kung fu flick that's equally as stupid, made in 1972. Can't really compare those kind of films for turn off your brain kind of movies.
Oh, I can.
I can't because the 1972 movie had no resources behind it. Michael Bay had every resource in the world to make a good movie, and he chose not to.
He chose not to. And I can acknowledge that.
That's the problem. He chose to make stupid. And that is lack of respect. That he could have made, go, you know what? I want to make the Transformers. I want to make this deep. I want to make it meaningful. I want to take the goofiness out of the cartoon. And I want to put on the screen a real version of these characters.
But that's not the movie he wanted to make.
Yeah, he said, all right, let's just amp up the comedy.
Exactly. You know, and I can almost respect that. Does it show respect for the original? No. Because, like I said, for me, in order to show respect for that, you've got to keep the characters and you got to keep at least the bones of the story.
But then explain to me the teenage alien kind of ninja-like, turtle-like creatures thing.
I can't.
Why,
I don't.
Why would you? Why would you change not only something that's that iconic of the whole origin, but something that's so beloved? You know, he had to know the backlash on this thing is going to be so huge, nobody's going to go see this movie.
No turtle fan is going to go see this movie. He's not making it for turtle fans. Just like Tim Burton is obviously not making Dark Shadows for Dark Shadows fans.
Then
they're
why
going for a different audience.
Then why not call it something else? Why not, instead of for Tim Burton making Dark Shadows, he just make a vampire out of place time comedy? Nobody would have compared it to Dark Shadows if they didn't have the characters' names. Well, nobody would have said this is, you know, Dark Shadows and a character from the 1790s and the 1970s.
No,
a vampire?
No. I guarantee that if he had done that, you would have looked at the story and gone, wait a minute, the story is just like Dark Shadows and they've changed the character names. Why did they remake Dark Shadows like this and just change the character names? They didn't call it Dark Shadows. They should have called it Dark Shadows.
But then you call it something else. It's just like the Django thing with Tarantino. His film actually sounds like a pretty good flick.
Yeah, it does.
And as much as I hate Tarantino normally, I think if anyone can pull off the kind of film he's trying to do, he probably can. The problem is, don't call it Django. It's not Django.
So your problem is with the name.
And the fact that it's supposed to be in the same continuity. Just make a Western like this. Why do you have to leech off the name? Especially because the name Django, I mean, it's only popular amongst Grindhouse fans. That name is not really known in movie circles outside of Grindhouse fans.
So maybe you get the name Django known. Somebody enjoys this movie, does a little research, and finds out about the old Django. And
is absolutely offended when they go and see.
Maybe they like it. Maybe they don't. But so, maybe they like it. At least they researched it and looked into it. And these old Django films that I had never heard of until I met you.
I grew up watching these things on TV.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't. And this is a new movie for a new audience that has at least the chance of introducing somebody to that old series that you love so much. Why not share that?
But it also comes down to not only not showing respect, missing the point. I brought this up to you when you were out having a cigarette before we started recording.
Right.
You liked Videodrome.
It was pretty good.
And for its time, it was pretty damn groundbreaking
right. For
the ideas it was putting forth.
For its time. Now you look back on it now and you're like, "Ooh, boy, is that outdated."
I don't believe so. I think if you go, this takes place in 1982, it's not outdated at all. So the new one is all about the internet, the new remake. And you go, there was no reason to update this. The story, the point of the story is not going to resonate the same with the internet culture that it did with TV culture.
Maybe
it's not the same.
Maybe it will.
The producers have outright, I mean, well, maybe not outright. They've more or less said they don't care about the original at all. They only wanted the name for name recognition, which means they're just going to go off and do whatever the fuck they want. And we're not even going to try to remake it. This is an in-name only remake, which is actually even more offensive and showing even less respect, I think.
Yeah, that'll give you an in-name only remake. But again, who knows? I haven't seen previews for
the
film.
They haven't made it yet. They haven't made it yet. Because they keep running into everyone that they try to get to make it is a fan of the original and says, go fuck yourself.
Well.
And I think that's actually kind of a good sign that they're having such trouble getting this made because everyone loves the original and is like, I'm not going to have my name on this future train wreck.
But if you stick, and I think Videodrome is one of those movies that if you stick to the basic,
concept?
Concept isn't quite what I'm going for, but it's the timeless ideas that are placed in it. New technology, interacting with humans in ways that it shouldn't, and, you know,
Changing you, making
somebody fall in love with a television set, which isn't quite right.
Well, technically, and he didn't fall in love with the television. He fell in love with Nikki inhabiting the television.
Exactly. And I think if you stick to that story, and instead of TV and video, you pull that out of the script and you throw in the somewhat scary new technologies of today, like the Japanese have in so much horror, you throw in cell phones and the internet, which to not our generation, but the one above perhaps, can be kind of scary in the same way that home video and television and stuff like that was when it first came out. And you were like, whoa, what is this? And
I disagree with it. I think the only reason to make a remake is, for one, you're going to show respect, and two, that you're going to fix a mistake that was made in the first one.
But my deal is, I think that your definition of showing respect is too tight. Because what you want, when you say, I want to see a remake of a film, all you want to see is the same exact film shot.
No. Look at Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Okay.
You've seen the original, right?
Yes.
1959?
Piece of shit.
No, it's actually pretty good.
No, it's a piece of shit.
Not in the correct way. Have you seen the trailer for the remake?
No.
It's a fucking zombie movie. There are people running around with shotguns, being chased by zombies, and it's called Plan 9 from Outer Space. And you go, why? Why is it called Plan 9 from Outer Space? There's no respect shown for the original. I don't want a shot-for-shot remake, but I don't want it to turn into an average direct-to-video zombie movie, which is what it looks like the remake is. There's no point. Then just call it something else. It's not Plan 9. Call it Zombies from Space or something.
Do they stick to something of the original storyline?
The character Criswell is in it.
Okay.
Remember, he was the narrator?
Yes.
Except now he's running around with a shotgun blowing zombies apart.
Okay.
So no, they do not stick to... Again, it just uses the characters and the resurrecting of the dead to take over Earth by aliens. That's it. The rest is a zombie movie.
Well, I hate to... Well... Okay, maybe that one doesn't show respect, but what... But again, it doesn't hold to my criteria of showing respect either if it doesn't hold to the storyline. I don't know. I haven't seen previews or anything on it yet. But if it doesn't hold to the storyline, if the characters aren't, you know, don't at least have some aspects in common with their old characters, then yeah, maybe it doesn't show respect. I don't know. But,
and then to answer your question, that I want just a straight remake? No, because like the 1998 Psycho, that showed no respect for the original either. First of all, no reason whatsoever to remake it. Second, literal shot-for-shot remake. What's the point? What was the point of the Gus Van Sant Psycho remake?
Yeah, to put it in color.
It added nothing to the mythos. They changed nothing whatsoever. They didn't update anything. Because, see, I don't need a shot-for-shot remake, such as The Night of the Living Dead 1990. It changed quite a bit, especially with the Barbara character and the entire ending. Yet, it was totally respectful to the original and its story. That one possibly because George Romero, who directed the original, produced the remake. So he respected his own film. Possibly that's why it was a respectful remake. Why'd you just smile on that?
Because the same guy that directed the first one produced the second one. Of course he's going to respect his own work.
But
duh.
But that's a respectful remake. Whereas Night of the Living Dead 3D, that more or less in name only one, where now instead of them just being finding a farm, they find a pot farm, and it's got stoner characters, and it's got an insane crematorium attendant that's keeping the zombies in his garage. You go, why is this called Night of the Living Dead? I know the film's public domain and you can leech off the title, but why? This has no similarities whatsoever. You changed every single aspect. So what was the point? There's no respect shown whatsoever.
Okay. So what, then what in your mind, how much leeway do you give directors and producers with showing respect? Because it sounds, you've given some great examples. For instance, you know, turning Barnabas Collins into a comedy. You say it shows no respect there. Django shows no respect because they changed the origin story. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, same thing. They changed the origin story. They changed the characters too much. How much leeway do you give them?
It would depend on what the source material is that they're adapting, because there are certain things, like say a science fiction story was written in the 1950s and it was all a thinly veiled analogy or allegory to communism. That's probably not going to translate well and might need to be changed. Have you ever seen the movie Screamers, the Peter Weller film?
No.
Well, it was based on a really good story called Second Variety. The problem with Second Variety, I mean, it's a great story, is it was written during the Cold War, and by God, can you tell it was written during the Cold War? The Russians are the bad guys. They're called Ivans. It's all about distrust. It's a clearly Cold War story. So when Dan O'Bannon adapted to a movie, he took out basically all the Cold War stuff and changed that to late 90s kind of
Gulf War-y
style. Okay, that worked. That wasn't showing disrespect. That was just saying, the whole Cold War analogy doesn't hold anymore. We have to change the evil.
So characters. You took out Cold and put on Gulf.
But he still showed respect for the original. He even kept in the somewhat controversial ending of the story, which is in one of those kind of makes sense, kind of comes out of nowhere things.
I'll tell you what. Here's one that we both agree on. The Star Wars prequels don't show respect for the originals.
Actually,
let me correct that. The Star Wars re-releases and prequels and completed films in
George Lucas's
eyes don't show respect for the movies that we had in our childhood.
I would extend that to Indiana Jones and the Quest for the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull as well, because that showed no respect for the original three, even though it was made by the same people.
It started to.
So there were certain elements in there, but
yeah, there were bits in there that did show respect.
Shia LaBeouf swinging with the monkeys.
Yeah, that no.
The double cross, triple cross, quadruple cross, and the space between spaces. And,
yeah.
I mean, and it, by the time they got to the fridge scene, it was because George Lucas tries and Spielberg try to play it off as like the fridge scene. Oh, it's just we did ridiculous stuff like that in the other three. Not to that degree.
You turned
Indiana Jones into a fucking cartoon character. That's not what you did in the first three movies.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I've seen the original 1930 serials.
That Raiders of the Lost Ark basically
stole from. The Temple of Doom basically stole from.
Right.
The Last Crusade basically stole from. I ain't got no problem with that. That's a beautiful, beautiful work of homage. But yeah, Crystal Skull, they tried to take one genre and shove it into another that didn't work.
Well, see, to me, Aliens could have worked. There was a discarded script that was actually pretty decent that had aliens in it, but it didn't have the whole Mayans or Aztec or whatever whatever fucking culture they went to, and it didn't have the swinging with the monkeys, and then that movie also had one of the biggest plagues of an old franchise in the modern age. Gotta have a young character for teens to identify with. God forbid we let Indy off on his own final adventure. Nope, he's gotta have a young character that teens can go, that guy's like me, that could be me. Tron Legacy did that too. God forbid you just bring back the characters from the original. Nope, gotta have a young character, someone that's cool. That offends me.
And they even tried with two, because they tried the original that stayed young because he was a program.
Right.
and that just ended up looking good.
Creepy.
Beautiful example of Uncanny Valley, of looking at that and going, that boy ain't right.
but that's what I mean. No respect. To me, Tron Legacy had no respect for Tron whatsoever. Because Tron Legacy, it almost seemed like they said, we're going to make a Matrix movie, but we're going to call it Tron, because there are so many things that make no sense when you think about them, even for a second, that never got brought up. I mean, you didn't have computerized turkeys and grass and things like that in the original, and you go, so did they program in the cooked turkey that was on the table, or did they program in turkeys that they had to kill and then cook, and then the spices for the turkey, and then they programmed in an oven to cook? Wait a minute, none of this makes any goddamn sense. Why would programs need a rave club to go to at night? You know, none of this makes sense.
But the original did have that little red light district. Wasn't a rave club, it was just the weird little programs hanging out on the corner, including the prostitute programs and stuff like that. Which,
no, that would be a virus program, actually.
That's precisely what it was played off as.
Yeah, and then they did deal with food a little bit. Remember when they found the pure
the water.
Stream?
Yeah.
Well, it was to the, you know, energy, and they're drinking it. But they did it in a computerized context. The way Legacy did it, it made no sense.
I agree.
Because you had to backtrack so far that you go, that's a lot of trouble to go through for having a turkey dinner.
I agree. And see, that was my problem with Tron Legacy. When I went to it, I knew what I was in for. And I went, okay, this is going to be a different movie with some of the same characters that looks really cool.
Theater or video?
Video.
Okay, because I was going to say, I didn't see it in the theater either, because there was no way I was going to pay for that.
But, you know, that's one thing I'll give them. The production design on Tron Legacy, gorgeous. The set design and the costume design, unbelievably gorgeous and well done. Takes the original rules of the Tron world and throws it all out. And I've heard the, oh, but computers have evolved since then, so the rules change. No.
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 And you're a computer guy, and even you're not buying that shit.
Yeah, I'm not at all. Computers get faster. Computers can do more. The rules don't change. You just learn to bend the rules to deal with the way you want.
I thought of another one that shows absolutely no respect, and that goes through the entire franchise, and there's even a new movie coming out, Resident Evil. The Resident Evil movies show no respect for the games in any way at all.
Yeah, the movies are just kind of action story of Alice.
Right.
Alice is a huge Mary Sue character.
Well, and she's not in the games, and God forbid any character from the games actually gets to do anything. All the characters from the games do in the movies are constantly being rescued by Alice. They're there to move Alice's story along. That is offensive to any fan of the game.
As one of my friends described it, it's like watching Scooby-Doo with one Freddy and 3,000 Daphnes.
Yeah, all she does is constantly rescue the characters from the game. So you go, then why? Why did you even call this Resident Evil if you're not going to even stick to one piece of continuity from the goddamn games? Why then? Oh,
but,
because the director's married to her.
Well, but did he show respect for the games at all?
No, not in any way at all. Not in any conceivable way.
There are moments, little itty bitty teeny tiny moments.
If you're thinking of anything from the second game, which is the only one that did have those moments, he didn't direct that. That's the one he didn't direct.
Okay.
So those edie teeny tiny bitty moments were not due to Paul Anderson.
Okay.
Those were almost in spite of Paul Anderson that the people had Jill in her tube top that you start Resident Evil 3 off with, right, and things like that. That was done by a different director.
Really?
Because I'm sure Paul Anderson kind of said, well, why don't we put Alice in that? She's my wife. I'm sleeping with her. Why, she's the main character. So that's what that comes down to. Is, I mean, the Resident Evil franchise is the absolute definition of showing no respect for a franchise when you bring them into movies. Another one would be Super Mario Brothers. Remember that train wreck of a movie?
Oh, yes.
Let's take, and I understand why they did this, and I really do like both the writer and directors of the Super Mario Brothers movie in their other projects. But they basically said, let's take what's, you know, this fun, lighthearted game in the Mushroom Kingdom and set it in Blade Runner.
Yeah, that
Wait,
was...
what?
See, but again, I don't know if it... It didn't work, but I don't know if it didn't have respect, because I don't think that the cute little mushroom stompy game world would translate to the big screen at all.
But no, there were other things that was no respect. Remember when Mario and Luigi had to give their names to the police? Their names are Mario, Mario, and Luigi, Luigi.
But they're brothers.
Yeah.
It's Mario, Mario, and Luigi, Mario. It's in the game, too.
In this, they are father and son.
Oh, God.
So even the title Super Mario Brothers, when we're father and son, and we have different last... Wait, what?
So they're father and stepson, maybe.
I don't know, or it's some weird inbred thing where they're still brothers in a weird way or something.
No idea. It's like identical cousins. I'm staring at you, Patty Duke. For that to happen genetically, do you know what that family had to go through?
Or Lindsay Lohan before she started looking like a melting candle whenever she's on camera? She did the remake of that?
Yeah, I'm ignoring Lindsay Lohan's Patty Duke.
Okay.
But,
but I mean, just why can't you show respect? Why can't, when you say, I want to adapt something, you say, okay, I'm going to update what needs to be updated.
We've spent a lot of time defining respect and showing a few examples that did not show respect and did not work. And that's not how I want to end this show. And we're coming up on the end. So give me some examples of respectful, good remakes.
Remakes or adaptations?
Adaptations or remakes.
All right. The first one I'll point out is a 50-50.
Okay.
And that is the Stallone Judge Dredd movie. Terribly miscast. Terrible story. The visuals are absolutely perfect. The costumes, the vehicles, the backgrounds, the
sound
effects.
So the production design.
The production design is an absolute perfect adaptation of the comics.
Okay.
So they got that part absolutely right. But they screwed the script. It was the script that screwed that movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Judge Dredd I'll give a 50-50 to. They got part of that, was very respectful. But Danny Cannon, the director, hated the script he had to work with. So I actually am not going to blame Danny Cannon for this, because he says Stallone was rewriting that movie on the set every day, and he basically had that movie taken from him.
So again, are there any out there that really hold what you call good respect, good remakes?
In a weird way, the Star Trek one, the J.J. Abrams Star
Trek. See, I would
Star
agree
Trek,
with that one, because...
It showed respect. You look at the characters, like Bones and Spock and McCoy and the look of the Enterprise. That stuff was updated for a modern audience. I didn't agree with parts of the story, but it was updated for a modern audience, but absolutely showed respect for the original characters.
And kept continuity.
In that weird reset timeline,
yeah.
Well, no, it's a spinoff universe. So that's, you know, because our universe still existed. So
right.
That's a spinoff in a strange way.
Exactly.
But like the Star Trek movie did it right. I hate to admit it, because this movie, again, is going to be a 50-50er where they got the tone and everything right, but the script was god awful, and that was Rocky and Bullwinkle. As bad as that train wreck was, they got the tone of the cartoon dead on. It just was a terrible, terrible script and not carried through well at all in any way. Another one I'd say, again, 50-50, well, no, 75-25 would be the first Mortal Kombat movie. It actually followed more or less the story of the game, more or less the origin of the characters, other than changing Kano from a Chinese man to an Australian. That being one of the biggest, huh, moments in there. That, you know, the character's Chinese and he's going, well, well, love. And you go,
That was Cockney. That wasn't even close to Australian.
Well, the actor's Australian, so they never actually say whether the character is. But actually, I think he makes a reference to a dingo at one point, so he's stereotypical Australian in the movie. But the first Mortal Kombat, if it wasn't for a couple of things that they changed unnecessarily, such as Reptile, that actually was a relatively accurate adaptation for the first game. Then the second movie was bad, but... But so I'll give you Mortal Kombat on a 75-25 split. It's really hard to find one that actually is outright respectful.
And that's my deal with you is, for me, it's easy to find ones that are outright respectful.
Night of the Living Dead 1990, but we've discussed why that probably was. It was the same guy behind both.
Exactly. And I think that really at the absolute core of it, yes, it's a different movie. Yes, it's a different genre, but because they've held the story and because... there are at least bare aspects of the characters that remain. I think this Dark Shadows, there may be a little hint of respect hidden in there somewhere.
I'm not seeing it, and from the way Burton's been talking about it, he doesn't seem to have any.
No, who knows?
You know, because, I mean, he outright acknowledges that the fans are going to hate it, so then why did you do it? Why did you want the fans to... Because he kind of intimated he wanted fans to accept this new version, but he knew they wouldn't. It's kind of like he wants to be this misunderstood genius.
Also, I think that the Christopher Nolan Batmans...
No way.
No, hang on. Because back in the 30s when Kane started doing the comic... It had a dark, mysterious kind of feel to it. And at least that they got away from... I mean, the Tim Burton ones and the goofy, utterly goofy ones
Joel
were...
Joel Schumacher ones.
The Joel Schumacher ones were obviously a nod back to the 60s TV series.
Which was not a good place which to was, have taken
yeah,
Batman.
Yeah, which was not a good place to take it back. I think that the modern ones are the first real... recent nod back to the comics and to what Batman was originally supposed to be.
But they're terrible, terrible, awful films.
I enjoy them.
I can't stand them because all I see is one plot hole after another. One, wait a minute, if you think that through for 4 seconds, that makes no sense moment after another.
Yeah, I get that in a lot of movies, but I still enjoy them.
I absolutely hate those Nolan movies. And for one thing, and keep in mind, I still have not seen Inception. I'm so sick of him being called the savior of sci-fi. They say he's the most original voice in sci-fi movies today. That actually offends me on a certain level.
Okay, then to you, who is the most original voice in sci-fi movie making today?
In movie making?
Yep.
Or sci-fi in general?
In movie making.
I wouldn't put J.J. Abrams up there because... Star Trek.
Ask who you wouldn't put up there.
No, I'm kind of doing the thought process out loud. So shut up. For sci-fi movie making, I cannot remember their names. It's the guys that do Charlie Jade. They've got a new project coming out that looks phenomenal. Two Canadian guys. I cannot remember their names off the top of my head. Just like I can't remember the names. I love Max Headroom. I can never remember the names of the head writers on that show, which are the guys that did... Super Mario Brothers. That's why you really saw some Max Headroom stylings in that movie, because
that was what
they were used to. So I can't remember the names, but there are a lot more original people out there than fucking Christopher Nolan.
Do you think they'll ever be successful?
Probably not, because people want the stupid shit. People don't want to be forced to think. People don't want something that's going to make them go, yeah, you know, that actually makes me examine that. They want, oh, that blowed up real good. That's what they want in sci-fi.
See, and I don't know. I think that there is a crowd that can still look at...
Not a big enough crowd to make $100 million movie successful.
Well, not to make a $100 million movie successful, probably. You're right. But I think that crowd is out there. I have hope. I have hope.
I have a small bit of hope, but I have too much disdain.
I also watched History of the World Part 1 last night.
That's a funny movie.
I miss that style of comedy. That's something that we can discuss in the future. I know we're out of time, but I do. I
History of the World Part 1 is great.
I miss Mel Brooks.
our forefathers. Orson Welles' narration in the beginning when all the monkeys are jacking off. Our forefathers, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, that's fucking funny.
Fuck the poor.
Who put the carpet on the wall? Scott, it's the Inquisition. Don't you know?
Thanks a lot for joining us. We're out of time and
use
really
the code
stalling.
Static at adamandeve.com.
Please. And I don't know why you're rushing. We've got plenty, you know.
Because I'm sick of this, you having to go to exactly the end of the show. This is dumb.
I go to the end of the show because that's when the show ends, and that's the way it is. Three, two, one. Good night, everybody.